restaurant. Amen. Oh, glory to God. And it is an awesome restaurant.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
Well, praise the Lord, men, women of God, mighty men of valor, mighty women of valor. We thank God for you on this morning. We thank God for life, health, and strength, the active use of our limbs. We thank the good Lord for his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection on this morning. God is a good God. He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. He's the God of breakthrough. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he is the breaker. Oh, glory to God. And we're believing that the breaker is going before us even this morning. He is the God of resurrection, resurrection life. And we thank God for life. Oh, glory to God. Not just regular life, common life, but a blessed life. And most of all, eternal life. I have a wonderful, 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 I can't say wonderful enough, businessman with me here, nationally known. Glory to God, preacher of the gospel. Oh, glory to God, great in wisdom, a man of business. Hallelujah, man of integrity. Oh, glory to God, Pastor Lloyd of Lord Have Mercy Restaurant. Amen. Oh, glory to God. And it is an awesome restaurant. And we thank God for you. We have been, I have been having Pastor Lloyd to come in, and we just been dealing with Christ in the marketplace. I just believe that, you know, the Bible says that there came a time when there were men standing around in the marketplace waiting to be hired. And the landowner came, and we know who the landowner is. Oh, glory to God, who owns all the land. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But he came and he said, why are you standing around in the marketplace? Come on, come and work for me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, glory to God. And so we just want you to catch that revelation, because, yes, we are in the last hour, and the landowner spoke with them in the last hour. Oh, glory to God. And it's time for us to get up and stop looking to man, stop looking to the government. Oh, glory to God, to help us out, and look to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so without any further delay, oh, glory to God, here is Pastor Lloyd, Lord of Lord Have Mercy Restaurant. I had a brain freeze there, Pastor Lloyd, because I forgot your last name just that quick. But, you know, before I throw Pastor Lloyd on, I was just telling him at the beginning of the broadcast. I said, you know, there's this one verse of scripture that I want to just, read it right quick. And this is for you business owners. This is for you people that are in business, believe in God, to go into business. The Bible says in Psalms 5:3, the Bible says, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. And I just want to encourage you business owners, because, you know, we're not like a person that holds down a job. Oh, glory to God, that hits the clock, that works a 9-to-5 or whatever hour, a second shift or a third shift. You know, we have to depend and rely upon the Lord. Oh, glory to God. There are days sometimes when it seems like it's slow, and then all of a sudden, oh, glory to God, God comes through. God turns it around. But, you know, we have to get up, and I know Pastor Lloyd, and I would love for him to expound on this also, There are days that we have to get up and talk to God about our businesses. Come on, somebody. Or the business that he's made us a steward over. We have to get up and talk to God. And we have to make a demand upon, oh, glory to God, the anointing or the power of God. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says that it's the Lord that gives a man power to gain wealth. Oh, glory to God. And so we have to get up and lay our petition before God. We have to say, God, now you made me a steward over this business. And hey, it's been going slow as of late. Come on. And I need you to come and rescue me. Hallelujah. I need you to do something. And so I just want to encourage you all. Oh, glory to God. Just like the scripture says, you know, get up early in the morning and lay your petition. Sometimes you have not because you ask not. That's Bible. That's Bible. So get up in the morning time early. Oh, glory to God. And talk with God. Don't carry it. To be a good Christian, to be a good businessman, you got to be a professional caster. Come on, somebody. You got to cast it on the Lord. All right, man of God. All right. Hallelujah. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying hearing you. What you talking about hearing me? I'm enjoying hearing you, man.
I just wanted to say that, man of God, I would love for you to even expound, because I know that you have had experiences where your days have probably been slow. You probably weeks, even a month. And you're like, what's going on here? But, you know, with me, it drove me back on my knees, and it drove me back to looking to God. And I know that there are business people that will be listening in, oh, glory to God, that would love, you know, even to hear some of your life experiences as to how, you know, you got through on the slow times. And what did you say to God? Because, hey, you know, who was that? David. David prayed a lot of stuff that David said to God. Come on, he said it in the Bible so we could read it. So what did you say? Because some folks out there need a turnaround. Some folks out there need a breakthrough. Oh, glory to God.
Well, Pastor, I really appreciate you allowing me to come and share with the audience. And, you know, we've been in the business now for about 13 years, I think. And but one of the keys to running a successful business is getting the wisdom of God.
My God.
You got to get the wisdom of God for your business. When things are not looking right, see, he's the God of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows the where's, the when's, the how's, the do's, and he knows the don'ts. See, sometimes we don't be listening for the don'ts.
That's right.
And the don'ts get, you know, we don't listen for the don'ts. That's what gets us in trouble.
That's right.
When God
right.
don't want to do something, we do it anyhow.
Ooh, I know what you're talking about.
Then that
about.
Put us in a drought season.
Yep.
There's a scripture in Job 36 and 11 that says, if you will serve and obey him, you will spend your years in prosperity and your days in prosperity, your years in pleasantness. And so serving and obeying God with your business is number one. And here's the other thing. It's amazing that we have scriptures all our life. We don't apply them to our business arena.
Oh, that's good.
And in Proverbs, I think 3 and 5, it's saying, all your ways.
Acknowledge.
Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So when I get in those crunch times, when it looks like it's not moving, I go to him, like you say. I go back to knee college.
Okay.
I go back to knee college. I need to go back and hear what God is saying concerning what's happening in the season I'm in, why it's not moving.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to be willing to make changes and listen.
Yeah.
Because Isaiah 48:17 says, I'm the Lord thy God that would teach you how to profit.
Yes.
And lead you in the way you should go. So if he's going to teach me and lead me, then I need to be acknowledging him every day.
Mm-hmm.
What I need to do, what I don't need to do, what I need to change. And because sometimes we're afraid to change things because we think it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But in business, you have to take risks.
That's good.
And most Christians are scared of risks.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good.
You know, God took a risk when he sent Jesus. Think about it.
Yes.
And well, let's look at that. Let's look at God as a businessman, the business of salvation. He sent Jesus. He took a risk. He died for us way before anything. And so God does things different from the way we do because he's the God of faith.
Yes.
He's the God of faith. So you need to know these faith moves. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Watch this. He will direct your path in business. He will direct who you need to connect to. He will direct who you need to disconnect to. Because some people you have to disconnect in order to elevate.
That's right. Wow.
And if you don't know when to drop, then you can't pick up and move on.
That's good.
So these things are so important. It's like the Bible said, let the wheat and the tare grow together until the day of the separation. I'll do the harvest. Well, that's the same way in business. Some things going to go, and then that's why God's going to start taking some things out.
That's good.
Because he's going to bring some things in. Never be more loyal to people than you are to God.
Oh, that's good.
See, that'll take you out your zone, because God wants you to do this, but because you're so loyal to this person, you can't make the decision. I'm sorry, I got to obey God.
Yes.
Peter said, I'd rather obey God than man, right?
Yes.
So when we get into these things, then once you begin to acknowledge him, here's what he's going to do. He's going to start giving you plans.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize God's a planner. He'll start laying out plans. Here's what I want you to do. And another scripture is Proverbs 16. It's been one of my scriptures that I like going to. And Proverbs 16:1, it said, of course, we go back to Jeremiah 29:11, where the Lord said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and give you an expected outcome. Now, that word there says not plan, but plans.
That's good. Plural.
Plural. So there's many plans that God have you that you should be going. Well, when you look at Proverbs 16:1, it says the plans of the mind and orderly thinking belongs to the man. So when I'm not functioning so well, my mind is not thinking orderly. So I need to go, God, where's the breach here?
Yeah.
Where's the breach that I need to go back and realign myself to get the harvest you desire me to have? And then I have to be willing to make the necessary changes. And a lot of times, we don't like to change.
That's true.
We do not like to change.
That's true.
But changing is where you get the breakthrough that you need to bring your bring them business or whatever you're doing to the next level. So change, you always got to be, let me say this, you always got to be evolving.
And what you said, risk, because there's a risk in change, because I realized that you took a risk. And you know, because when you said that, man of God, it reminded me of something that I preached long ago. As a matter of fact, God opened a door for me to preach on a television show, and I preached about Rahab and how Rahab represents the church that's still in the world, but it's coming. They're still in the world, and they're in business. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Because, you know, even when you look at that dispensation, we look at Rahab, and yes, she was a prostitute, but here she is. She has to step out and take a chance, because most women in that dispensation, they stayed up underneath their daddy's covering until they got married.
Yeah.
Here she is. She's stepping out into business. Come on. She's taking a chance because she had streams of income coming in, you know, rope maker, you know, prostitute, lodging, you know, and we look at her and we say, oh, you know, we just look at her as a prostitute, but she was a business woman. And God got people out there that are in business, man of God, that have streams of income that are going to be coming into the body of Christ. But, you know, the thing about it is that she took a risk. And sometimes the people in the world are quicker to take a risk than what we are in the body of Christ. We just want to stay in the four corners of the wall and keep our holiness and righteousness in those four corners. I just had to say that, man of God, because, man, I'm telling you, you're about to make me run around this building. Go ahead.
Well, again, we like comfort, but nothing in the kingdom is comfort. You know, the kingdom of God is always evolving, and and the Bible said the kingdom of God is in us, so it's always moving, changing. And a lot of times we're not paying attention to the inside, because always remember, we live inside out. We don't live outside in. So whatever God going to say to you, he going to say to you from the inside.
Yes.
You have to be listening from the inside. And what comes on the inside, what we call the envision. The envision becomes the outer vision.
Huh.
So God begin to give you your envision, and you begin to see yourself prophetically. And as you begin to see yourself prophetically, you begin to put feet to the faith of what you see prophetically.
Oh, that's good.
And a lot of times, we don't look at that. That's why meditation is so important, because in meditation, that's when God opens your life to you.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Yes. And he begins to see you. Okay, here's where I'm going to take you. And then you say, well, Lord, how am I going to get there? Abraham, God told Abraham that he's going to do so many things for him. He brought him out, saw him a star. He said, your descendants going to be this man. He said, how should I know? I hear what you're saying, God. I understand. I comprehend what you're saying. But how should I know that this thing's going to happen. He said, well, bring me a seed.
Ooh-wee.
And we'll talk about it.
Oh.
So before he could move forward in that next generation of what God's going to do in his family, God says, I need you to covenant with me with a seed.
Ooh.
And sometimes God's speaking to y'all about a seed, but you're blind.
That was in my spirit, man, of God, to talk earlier. It was in my spirit to talk about a seed because sometimes when my business and it was going slow, I would literally sow a seed in the midst of famine. How do we get over here? I know we started up in the midst of famine because also you spoke about Abraham, and Abraham took a risk. And I'm getting a check in my spirit, man of God, that there are people that are going to be listening to this broadcast. Yeah, and you have not been willing to take a risk, to step out in faith, to step out on nothing, and you're going to land on something. You know, faith is like stepping out on nothing but landing on something.
Absolutely.
And so you, when you said that, man of God, you said, you know, that risk, and then you even sowing a seed. Yes, I have been there where I've been sitting around for days, and it's like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and die. Oh, glory to God. See, why did we go? I'm not going to be like the four lepers that sat around and they said, why sit we here until we die? Come
there
on.
You go.
Oh, glory to God. I'm not even going to go there because you're the preacher today.
No. You know why? You know why?
Woo.
Because life is in the seed.
Woo.
Life is in the seed. So your business live by seed.
Yes.
So when things got slow, I need to sow.
That's so true. Man, oh, that's so true.
Now, I sow at the level I want to go.
Ooh. You saying something.
You saying something. It got to be a significant seed.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm here, but I need to go here. God said, show me.
Yeah.
Abraham said, Lord, how I know you? And God said, I need you to show me by giving me this. And God asked for four offerings from him.
Yeah.
And he brought the offers, and then God began to tell him, he said, your generation going to be so blessed.
My God.
And so, but that kept him moving forward. So sometimes, see, I'm saying, there's so much here. That's why in all your ways, you got to acknowledge him.
Yep.
And he would direct your path.
Yeah.
See, money produces money.
Yep.
So if my business is in a drought, watch this, catch this, I don't need to pray.
That's right.
My prayer is, Lord, why I need to sow.
Because
every seed reproduce after its own kind.
Yep.
So I don't need more prayer. I need more money.
Ooh-wee.
So I need to sow more money to get more money.
Yeah, everybody don't have that revelation, man of God. Everybody's not willing to put what they love on the altar, since you're talking about Abraham. Everybody's not willing. Come on, because let me show you something. I was given a business. Come on. I had a hairstyling salon for like 17 years. Okay, I won't even go all into that. And at one time, I had like 7 people working for me. Oh, glory to God. But let me say this here. Sometimes we want something for nothing. Mm. And so, yes, sometimes we got to sow AC. Now I'm telling you.
No, you're fine. See, we go back Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth remains, it's seed time and harvest. Didn't it say pray and harvest?
That's right.
Seed time and harvest.
That's good.
It said shall not cease. So then, if I'm going to the business arena, I didn't know how to make money move.
Ooh-wee.
Seed makes money move. That's why it's called currency.
Ooh-wee.
It's designed to flow, but you determine the level of the flow by how much you sow.
My God. You saying something? You preaching today, man.
Now, over here, let me show you something, because I'm about to run around this.
I'm about to run around with you. We both going to run. Give us a break for a moment, a pause break. We're going to pause, and both of us going to run around. Go ahead, man. Because I'm telling you, scripture just jumping off the pages here. I'm telling you, it's jumping off the pages.
God, I'm having so much fun. I love the word of God, man. I really, really do. And, we love helping people. But let me watch this. I want to read this. This is going to bless you. And I just gave it to...
And while he's looking that up, I want to say that, you know, we're planning. We're talking about a Christ in the Marketplace conference in the month of February. And so we're going to be announcing that. We're going to be, letting you know the date and the time and the place here real soon. We're just putting it out there now. And we'll be, you know, doing even more advertisement, you know, later on. But we're going to do a Christ in the Marketplace conference, because there are too many of God's people standing around in the marketplace waiting on somebody to hire them. I want to encourage you. You have, let me say this here. If you have Christ on the inside of you, you're capable of business. Come on, somebody, because he was the greatest businessman. Oh, glory to God. He was the greatest businessman on the face of the planet. He spoke about business. He said, I must be about my Father's business, even letting you know that the Father is business-minded, just like the man of God said. And we can go more down that line, but I want to hear what Pastor got to say, Pastor Lloyd got to say.
You talked about Abraham. But Isaac learned from his father. And you know, one thing I was meditating coming here, and do you not know most of the people that God used in the Bible was business people?
Yes, yes.
Abraham was a businessman.
Yes.
His father was a businessman. So God's never been us against us being in business.
Yes.
We just now not took the initiative to go in it ourselves.
Woo.
See, you hanging around the wrong people that ain't going nowhere.
His disciples.
Okay. Always been
Christ's disciples. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
I mean, but see, and the Holy Spirit began to show me. He says, inform them I'm not about against business because all the people that work for me were people in business. Because when God started talking to them about business, they understand him. Businessmen talking to businessmen because iron sharpens iron.
You are saying something, man of God. Because I look at things from a business perspective. I look at even how this nation is ran from a business because some of us are looking at things from an emotional standpoint. But my God, if God's people can only look at and catch the nature of God, that's one of the natures of God is being a business minded.
Amen.
You know, the thing about it is that, you know, and you say, well, what do you mean by nature? Well, some people have it's what you do naturally. Some people smile naturally. You know, when it comes down to God, God loves naturally. God does business naturally. Come on. It's in his nature. Come on. Okay. All right. Go ahead, man.
No, you're good. I thought about this. God in the beginning, the Bible say he planted a garden. He planted a garden as a businessman, and he turned it over to a business partner named Adam and Eve.
You preach it.
Keep my business going. Dress it and keep it.
My God.
I've given you something that belongs to me. So God gave Adam a business on behalf of him. And then he was teaching them how to run the business. Because they met in the cool of the day. So they would have business meetings.
And walk, I was going to say, you beat me to it. You beat me to it because I was going to say, he not only that, but he came to oversee. Let me go and see what he's doing. And I believe that when they were walking together, Adam was saying, this is what I've done today. I did this and I did that. Come on. Okay, all right. We in the same vein.
Remember, the Lord gave him the business of naming all the animals on the farm.
Yes.
So when we look at it, and what we're trying to do this morning, body of Christ, is to show you it's okay to be a business entrepreneur. You don't have to live in slavery all your life. Okay? Take that talent that God gave you to produce treasure. Learn. Get a plan, because God used plans. Get a plan. Put that plan before God and ask God for direction.
And be willing.
And be willing to obey and do what he say.
Didn't he say the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land? Didn't he say, okay, because, you know, sometimes we got to start at first base and tell on ourselves, God, I ain't always willing. This is why you see in Psalms 51, David prayed for a willing spirit or a free spirit. It depends on the interpretation of your Bible. But here he is. He's saying, God, free up my will so that I can make a decision to serve you and to obey you.
Amen. Amen. Now, when I started, Lord have mercy, mm-hmm. when the crisis hit, when the financial crisis hit in 2008,
my God,
the Lord said, start a business. I said, huh? That's when the market crashed.
My God.
In 2008, he says, start a business.
Woo.
I said, but Lord, you see the market and all this? He says, you're not going to participate.
Woo! Because he does his best work in darkness.
Yeah. He said, start a business.
By God.
And I did. And I started it because I've been sowing, put my seed where I needed. And so I created enough revenue that I didn't have to go to the bank to borrow money to open my business. Because my seed propelled me to my future.
You man of God, what you're saying is so powerful, because you spoke about Isaac earlier. And Isaac, the Bible says that Isaac sowed his seed, but he sowed it let me say this here. The Bible says he received a hundredfold. It didn't say he reaped a hundredfold, but it says he received a hundredfold, because all the conditions would have had to be right. Come on. Mm-hmm. The ground would have had to do its part.
Yeah.
The rain would have had to do its part.
Yeah.
The sun would have had to do its part. The sun was overdoing it. Come on, it wasn't raining.
Yes.
Oh, what time? How much time we got? Oh, we got to bring it in. It wasn't raining. It was not. The ground was dried up and cracked up. You know, we're gonna save this here. We gotta. We're gonna take a pause. We gotta come right back on, but we gotta do a station break pause for about 30 seconds, and we're coming right back. So those that are on social media, don't go nowhere. We're coming right back. A 30-second station break.
Thank you for listening in to Kingdom Sounds. Be sure to listen in Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Our service times are Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m., and Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. If you have a prayer request, you can send it in to VIPMinistries@att.net. We are located at 250 North Babcock Street in Melbourne, Florida, 32935. VIP is empowering God's people to overcome what's overcoming them and mobilizing them to impact society. Our prayer is that God will bless you and keep you, that He will make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be blessed.
The sheer growth in the number of young people identifying as LGBTQ should make us question all the assumptions. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Earlier this year, a Gallup poll announced that 1 in 6 Gen Zers identify as LGBT. That's a shockingly high number. And in addition to challenging Christians about how much the culture around us has changed, those numbers should also challenge the way that people have been taught to think about sexuality. You see, for years, the main idea that drove the activism around sexual orientation was that gay and lesbian people were quote-unquote born this way. Since, went the argument, no one's really attracted to someone of the same sex through any fault of their own, we have to let them be who they truly are. Now, the idea proved incredibly persuasive, especially the more that it was portrayed in song and in film and in television. And of course, millions went to research looking for the genetic causes for same-sex attraction. However, polls like this one should make us question what many in our culture now take for granted about sexual orientation. Otherwise, how is it possible to account for the explosion in self-identified LGBTQ youth? The obvious answer is, it isn't. We either have to keep foolishly pretending that nearly 40% of young people have always been gay, lesbian, bisexual, or especially now transgender, or we can admit that our ideas about sexuality have consequences for others. For one thing, young people are constantly being taught to see every relationship they have as potentially sexual. This robs them of platonic friendships, especially with members of the same sex. C.S. Lewis famously wrote that few value friendship because few experience it. Now, to be clear, people's sexual desires almost never feel chosen. The research has not fully eliminated all biological or genetic factors in same-sex attraction, though there's no justification at all for treating it as immutable, much less treating gender dysphoria that way. However, given all of the cultural pressure to assume such, it's a mistake for us to